Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Live Through Jesus podcast with Courtney Gilmore. On this episode, what will you ask of the Lord? This is 1 Kings 3. If God came to you and told you that you could ask him for one thing, what would it be? That's what happened to Solomon right after he became the king. God came to him in a dream and he said, "What will you ask of me?" Now, he didn't tell him that he would definitely give it to him. He just said, "What do you want?" And after Solomon told him what it was that he wanted, God said, "That is a great thing to ask for, and I will grant it to you. Not only will I grant you that thing, but I'm going to give you all the things that you didn't ask for just because your focus was in the right place." And that got me to thinking, if I were to ask God for one thing, what would it be? And would he honor it? Would it be something that he would say, "That is worthy of me granting to you"? And so I want you to be thinking about that today as we read this story. And then when we get finished, we're just going to read a lot of verses about asking God for things, what we should talk about, what should we ask God for. And maybe you can think of some things that I haven't thought of. And so we begin in 1 Kings 3 with Solomon forming a marriage alliance with Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And so he marries Pharaoh's daughter to ally with the Egyptians, which is crazy that this is the first allegiance that he makes, because they were slaves in Egypt just 500 years before. And now they are their very own nation that is prestigious, important, and the Egyptian king is counting Israel as its equal, and allowing his daughter to marry the king of Israel and allying with them. So that is really a crazy thing that has happened in just a small amount of time. And it says that because the temple had not yet been built and because Solomon had not yet built his own palace, he brought this woman to the city of David, which presumably means he brought her to live in David's house, which was the king's house at the moment, until he was able to first build the temple and then build his own house, and then they went there to live. Then in verse 2, it says that the people were still sacrificing on the high places because there was no house built for the name of the Lord until those days. Now, the high places are places that the Canaanites worshiped when they had the land of Israel, and they did this because this made them feel close to the gods. So they would go up on the highest place that they could find, and that made them feel close to the gods. And Israel demolished all of their altars and all of the things that they used to worship, because that is what God had commanded them to do. But then they repurposed these high places as places of worship to God. Now, this isn't exactly what God had told them to do. What God told them to do is to demolish the high places and then worship him in the place that he would put his name, which would be where the tabernacle is. Even though they don't have the temple, they have the tabernacle, which was the traveling house of the Lord. And so that would have been where they should have been making sacrifices and worshiping the Lord. The only exception, God did tell them that if they wanted to cook meat in their own towns, they could do that. It wasn't a burnt offering to God, but they could, kill the animals and sacrifice them, cook them, and eat them. And so they could do that in their own towns. And if they wanted that to be on a high place where they had the altar that they would cook these animals on, then I guess that would have been fine. But they were supposed to be worshiping God at the tabernacle, offering sacrifices to God at the tabernacle. And so it says that they were still worshiping on the high places because they didn't have the temple, even though they did have the tabernacle. Then it says, Solomon loved the Lord, walking in the statutes of his father David, except that he was sacrificing and burning incense on the high places. So Solomon apparently didn't just go to the tabernacle. He went to some of these places also. But then in verse 4, it says, "Then the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there because that was the great high place, and he sacrificed 1,000 offerings on that altar." Now, in 2 Chronicles 1, when it tells this story, it gives us a little bit more information. It says that he gathered all the commanders of thousands and hundreds and the judges and the leaders and the heads of all of the families, and they all went to Gibeon to sacrifice, which is where the tabernacle was. And then it explains, it says, "Solomon and all the assembly with him went to the high place, which was at Gibeon, because God's tent of meeting was there, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, had made in the wilderness." And so the tent of meeting that Moses made was the tabernacle. That's what I'm talking about. So he said that's why they went there. However, David had brought up the Ark of God from Kiriath Jearim to the place that he had prepared for it, for he had pitched a tent for it in Jerusalem. And so if you remember a long time ago, they took the Ark of the Covenant out of the tabernacle. They took it to war with them. The Philistines captured it. And then the Philistines got cursed for having it. God cursed them. And eventually they gave it back to the Israelites so that the curse would stop. But they didn't treat it in the way that they should. And so some of the people died that were touching the ark. And so they took it to Kiriath Jearim and left it there for a long time because they were scared to get it. And eventually David went and got it, but he didn't take it back to the tabernacle. He took it to Jerusalem. And so that's what he's talking about there. So he says they went to Gibeon to sacrifice the animals, because it actually goes on to say in verse 5, because the bronze altar which Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, had made was there before the tabernacle of the Lord. And so Solomon and the assembly sought it out. So they went to the tabernacle because that's where the bronze altar was, in the courtyard of the tabernacle. And this had been built by Bezalel in the days of Moses, that God had appointed a couple of craftsmen to build certain pieces of furniture, and this one was built by Bezalel. And so he says that's why we went there instead of to the ark in Jerusalem, because there was no altar there. And then it says Solomon went up before the Lord to the bronze altar, which was at the tent of meeting, and he offered 1,000 burnt offerings on it. So all of the burnt offerings would be to the Lord, because the burnt offerings are completely burned up. Nobody eats them. This is 1,000 sacrifices just to God, just thanking him, presumably, for making him the king. And then it goes on in 1 Kings 3:5 to tell us that God came to Solomon in a dream and said, "What will you ask of me?" And this is Solomon's response. He says, "You have shown great faithfulness to your servant David, my father, according as he walked before you in truth, righteousness, and uprightness of heart towards you. You have reserved for him this great faithfulness, that you have given him a son to sit on the throne as it is this day." So the first thing he says is he praises God for being so kind to David, his father, and extending that kindness to him by giving him the throne of his father, David, and making him the ruler of all of the nation that God has given to him. And then in verse 7, it says, "Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father, yet I'm a little boy," or a young man. In most versions, that's what it actually means. "I do not know how to go out or come in." So he's like, "So you made me the king, and I'm so thankful, except I have no idea what I'm doing. I don't know what to do when I walk out of this place. I don't know what to do when I come into this place. I have no idea what I am doing. I am young and inexperienced. And so I'm thankful for you giving me this, but I do not know what I am doing." And then he says in verse 8, Your servant is in the midst of your people whom you have chosen, a great people who are too many to be numbered or counted. And in First Chronicles, when it talks about this, it says people that are as numerous as the dust. And so he's saying, not only do I not know what I'm doing, but this is a lot of people to reign. And so I have no idea how to lead this many people. And so his ask of God is, will you give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil? Because who is capable of judging this many people? In 2 Chronicles 10, it says, give me wisdom and knowledge so that I may go out and come in before these people, for who can rule this great people of yours? And so these words of understanding heart, that is equivalent to wisdom. And the word understanding there comes from a word meaning hear. And so a lot of versions will say, give me a listening heart. Well, in order for you to listen, God has to say something to you, right? And so what he's saying here is, please tell me what to do. I do not know what to do. I don't know what to do from one moment to the next. You know, when he says, I don't know going in or coming out, he's basically just saying, I don't know what to do from one moment to the next. And so please tell me every decision that I need to make and give me a listening heart to hear that decision. Give me wisdom. And then he says to discern between good and evil. And this good and evil is not necessarily like morally evil. It is in the very broadest sense of the word good and bad. So tell me what is the right thing to do and the wrong thing to do. Not necessarily that it's, you know, breaking one of your laws or anything, but just what's right, what's wrong, what's good, what's bad, what's true, what's false. Give me a discernment, which in the First Chronicles verse says knowledge, to understand the difference between these things so that I can, you know, lead these people well, because I do not know what I'm doing. And if you think about it, this is a pretty big request, because he's asking God not just for, you know, when we say, God, give us wisdom, we're kind of thinking, you know, like, make me a wise person. Okay, that's great. But he's saying, like, every second, like, I'm going to be ruling this people and I don't know what I'm doing. And so every time I have to make a decision, I need you, you know, wisdom. Sometimes we think of like, and so just make me where I know what to do. But this listening ear, listening heart is actually saying, tell me what to do. Every single decision that I have to make, I need you to tell me what to do. And then I need you to give me the heart to hear it and know the difference between what is a good idea and what's the best idea. What is, you know, not what I shouldn't do and what is absolutely evil. Give me discernment and understanding in all of those ways. And God says, because you have asked this thing and you haven't asked for yourself a long life or riches or the lives of your enemies, but you've asked for yourself discernment and to understand justice, behold, I've done according to your word. Behold, I've given you a wise and discerning heart, so that there has been no one like you before and no one shall rise like you again. And so, and then even in 1 Chronicles 11, when he says this, he says, because you didn't ask for riches, wealth, or honor, and because you didn't ask for the life of your enemies, or even for a long life for yourself, but because you asked for wisdom and knowledge, I've given you that. And so God was pleased with the thing that David asked him for. He didn't ask for honor. He didn't ask for, you know, riches and glory for himself. Basically what he was asking God for is help in doing the job that God had tasked him with. God had told him that he wanted him to be the king and to build the temple. And so Solomon is like, I need your help to do that. That is what I want. I want wisdom so that I can do the job that you've given me well so that I can be successful at this job. And God said, that is honoring me. That means that your heart is bent on pleasing me. You're not focused on how you look to the world and what wonderful things you have from this world. You are looking at what can I do to please God? How can I please Him in this job that He has given to me? And so God said, that gives me great pleasure and I want to give you this thing. God wants him to be successful. And so if this is what he is thinking he needs in order to be successful, he's like, I want you to be successful. I will certainly give you that. But then he goes on to say in verse 13, I have also given you what you didn't ask for, both riches and honor, so that there will not be any among you in the kings like you in all of the days. And then in 1 Chronicles, in verse 12, he says, I will also give you riches, wealth, and honor, such as none of the kings before you have possessed, and none who will come after you. And so he's not only giving Solomon what he asked for, but he said, because you didn't ask for these things, but they are things that a king would want, honor, favor from other people, and riches, and, a great name, he says, I'll give you that. I will give you all of the things that you didn't ask for because that wasn't your focus. And then he goes on in verse 14 in 1 Kings 3 to say, if you walk in my ways and keep my statutes and my commands as your father David walked, then I will also prolong your days. So he's basically saying, I will give you all of these things unconditionally. But if you will follow me for all of your life, then under that condition, I will also give you long life. And so Solomon is getting blessings like left and right, right? He's getting all of these things from God because God saw his heart and he knew exactly what he really wanted. And then it ends by saying that Solomon left Gibeon and went to the Ark in Jerusalem and worshiped God there. And he had a feast with the people celebrating this fact that God has made him the king and just the beginning of his reign. If you'd like to receive this as a written lesson, then go to livethroughjesus.substack.com and become a paid subscriber there. With your subscription, you'll receive 4 lessons every month by email and access to all the previous lessons. And digital studies are great because all of these scripture references are linked, and so you can just click on them right from your device. You don't have to flip through your Bible, and you can change it to whatever version you want to read the lesson in. Then digital studies are also good if you'd like to do them with a group because you only have to get one subscription and then you can just print off all of your materials so everybody doesn't have to get their own book. And so it's only $6 a month or $60 a year and you'll just be able to do continuous studies with me. So go to livethroughjesus.substack.com if you would like this written study. And so what I noticed in this story is that God didn't tell Solomon beforehand that he would give him what he asked for. He waited until he knew what he was going to, what he did ask for, and then he said, I'll give you that. Yes, if that's what you want, then that is what you will get because that is a worthy ask. So presumably, if he would have asked for riches or honor, God might not have given him those things. He might have said, no, you want those things for your own glory. You don't want those things for any good reason. And so, no, I'm not going to give you that. He waited to make sure that his heart was right and that he was asking for things that were appropriate. And then he gave them to him. And not only that, but all the things that he didn't ask for. In James 4, 2 through 8, it says, you lust and you don't have, so you commit murder. You are envious and you can't obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you don't receive because you ask with the wrong motives, so that you may spend what you request on your own pleasures. You are adulteresses. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you not think that the Scripture says to no purpose that he jealously desires the Spirit whom he has made to dwell in us? But he gave us greater grace. Therefore, it says that God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So submit yourselves, therefore, to God, and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and he will come close to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So he says here that the people don't have what they want because they're not asking God for it. So God wants us to ask him for things. We don't have to wait for him to come to us like he did Solomon and say, what would you like from me? We can go to God and we can ask him for things. But then it goes on to say that sometimes people ask for things and they don't receive them because they're asking with the wrong motives, because they want to spend it on their own pleasures. And God says, that is not going to be something that I grant. Because if you are trying to be friends with the world, if you're trying to look good to the world, if you are trying to gain worldly things, then you are against me. Your heart is not towards me. And so shy away from those things. Push those things away and seek after the things of God. We have to have the right heart when we're asking God for things. You know, and riches and power and honor, you know, God had already given Solomon power by giving him the kingdom to rule over. But riches and power and honor, those are not inherently bad things. You know, if God gave him power and he ended up giving him honor and riches, then those aren't inherently bad things for him. They wouldn't even necessarily be bad things for us to ask for, I don't think, if we were going to use them for God's pleasure and not for our own. But we know that those things are definitely going to give us glory. And so if we're asking for those things for that purpose, then we have the wrong heart. And maybe we think we would use them for God's glory. And so we say, God, give me money and I'll use it for you. Give me honor and I'll use it for you. Give me power and I'll use it for you. And maybe God will say, yes, I would love to do that for you. But maybe he says, no, I don't want to do that because you're not going to use it for the right reasons. You think you will, but when you get that power, it's going to corrupt you. Or when you get that money, you're going to look to it and it's going to pull you away from me. And so I'm not going to do those things. But God was giving this to Solomon because he could see that Solomon's heart was pure. And Solomon was also being very humble, right? Solomon is saying, I can't do this without you. And so I need your help. So please, please give me some wisdom here so that I know what to do, how to do this job that you've given me well. Jesus told the people a parable in Luke 12. Beginning in verse 16, and he says, there was a rich man who was very productive and he had a lot of land. And he was thinking to himself, what should I do since I have no place to store my crops? And he says, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger ones so that I can store all of the grain and the goods there. And I will say to myself, you have many goods stored up for yourself for many years to come. You can relax and eat and drink and enjoy yourself. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is demanded of you. As for all that you have prepared, who will own it now? And Jesus says, this is the one who stores up treasures for himself on this earth, but not in relation to God. And so he tells the disciples, he says, so don't worry about what you're going to eat and what you're going to wear and all of the things that you want, because that is what the people of this world worry about. What you need to worry about, God will worry about those things. What you need to do is seek him first, and then he will add to you all of those things that you need. He'll give you those things, but seek after him first. And then he says, sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts that you don't wear out, an inexhaustible treasure in heaven where no thief comes, near, nor moth destroys, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so that's what Solomon was doing. Solomon was investing in the things of God, in the things that were lasting, in the things that were going to matter. He wasn't storing up treasures for himself here on this earth. And that's what we should be doing. We should trust God to give us the things that we need, and then make our focus on Him, seek Him first, and allow Him to give us the things that we need, and make sure that our treasure is in Him and not in the things of this world. John 14, 13 to 14 says, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." This is Jesus talking, but notice that he says, "I will do it if you ask in my name," meaning if it's something that I would sign my name to, if I would endorse this, then I will give it to you so that it may glorify God. So Jesus wants to give us the things that will glorify God. And so we can be certain that we will get the things that we ask for if those things are glorifying to God, if Jesus would endorse those things. John 15, 5 to 8 says, "I am the vine and you are the branches. The one who remains in me and I in him bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." That's what Solomon knew, right? Apart from God, he could do nothing. "If anyone does not remain in me, he's thrown away like a branch and he dries up. And they gather them and they throw them into the fire and they're burned. But if you will remain in me and my words will remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it'll be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples." So he says, God wants to give you the fruits of his Spirit. He wants you to dwell with me so that you can have the fruits of the Spirit. And so if you will ask me for those things, I will give you those things because that glorifies God. The fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And so God Jesus is saying, if you will remain with me, then you will get my qualities. I will give those things to you and that will glorify God. And so we know that we can ask for the qualities of God, the things that God possesses, he can give to us. And so we should ask for those things. James 3, 13 to 18 says, "Who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above. That is earthly, natural, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, and then peace-loving, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial, free of hypocrisy. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." So he says, this is the kind of wisdom. Wisdom produces these things. By asking for wisdom, Solomon was getting a million things. He was getting additional things that wisdom brings, and we'll get the same thing if God gives us wisdom. And so when we focus on God, our desires will become his, and then what we ask for will be what he wants us to have. Solomon had been entrusted with this great task, and he was just asking God to enable him to do it. And so ask yourself today, what has God asked you to do? You specifically, what is your special job for him on this earth? Maybe it's something grand. Maybe it's just something that you do today. Maybe your job today is to raise your children up to know the Lord. Maybe your job today is to love your husband. Maybe your job today is to tell someone else about God. Maybe your job today is to be kind to someone, or to smile at them, or to hug them and listen to their problems. Maybe your job is something bigger than that. Maybe you're in the ministry. Maybe your job is to work at a charity. Whatever your job is that God has given you to do, what do you need from him to do it well? What is the thing that you need from God right now that will enable you to do what He's called you to do? Because if God's called you to do it, He wants you to be successful at it. And so ask Him for the thing that you need to be successful at the job He's asked for you to do. 2 Peter 1, 1 through 9 says, Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, has written this letter to you. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. For His divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. So God has given us everything we need to be godly. Through these, He has granted us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world on account of lust. Remember, I was saying that God will give us the characteristics that He possesses because we have the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to partake in His divine nature. We get to take on the characteristics of God. We are partaking in His nature by having the Holy Spirit within us. And that enables us to bear His characteristics and to escape the corruption of this world. And so it says, now for this very reason, apply all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and they are increasing, they do not make you useless or unproductive in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For the one who lacks these qualities is blind and short-sighted, having forgotten the purification that he has from former sins. So he says, you will be useful and productive if you possess these things. But if you don't possess these things, it's as if you've forgotten that you have the Holy Spirit. It's as if you've forgotten that God has saved you and changed you and made you a new person and given you His Spirit. And so walk in that. Act as if you have God's Spirit within you and walk in His ways. And so some of the things that I thought of that we could ask for: a heart for others, kindness, compassion, knowledge, understanding, discernment, wisdom, courage, boldness, strength, even skill and ability. Because, you know, some people need wisdom to perform the task that God has given to them, but some people need the skill to do it or the ability to do it. So we can ask God for all of these things. And maybe you can think of other things that seem to be pleasing to God that He would want for us to ask Him for. Psalm 119, 33 to 37 says, "Teach me the way of your statutes, Lord, and I shall comply with it to the end. Give me understanding so that I may comply with your law and keep it with all my heart. Make me walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Incline my heart to your testimonies and not to the dishonest gain. Turn my eyes away from looking at what is worthless and revive me in your ways." That's a pretty good prayer. A lot of things, good things to ask for. And then Proverbs 1, 1 through 7 tells us that the whole book of Proverbs are the Proverbs of Solomon. And they are given to us to know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and integrity, to give prudence to the naive, and to the youth knowledge and discretion. A wise person will hear and increase in their learning, and a person of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a saying, the word of the wise and their riddles, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And so it's telling us that if we want wisdom, we want understanding, we want discernment, then we should read the Proverbs. And so I have several Proverbs in here that I figured I would read to you. Proverbs 2, 1 through 11 says, "My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and you will discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright, and he is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, and he watches over the way of the godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness, justice, and integrity, and every good path. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be delightful to your soul. Discretion will watch over you, and understanding will guide you." That's all if we will just listen to the wisdom that God is trying to tell us. Proverbs 3:3-26. "For length of days and years of life and peace, they will add to you. Do not let kindness and truth leave you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. For you will find favor and good reputation in the sight of God and man." So if we will keep kindness and truth, then we will have a good reputation. We'll have honor from God and from people. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and from the first of all your produce, and then your barns will be full with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, just as a father disciplines his son in whom he delights. Blessed is the person who finds wisdom and who obtains understanding. For her profit is better than the profit of silver, and her produce is better than gold. She's more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire compares with her. Long life is in her right hand, and in her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are those who hold on to her. The Lord founded the earth by wisdom. He established the heavens by understanding. By his knowledge, the ocean depths were burst open, and the clouds drip with dew. My son, see that you do not let them escape from your sight. Comply with sound wisdom and discretion. They will be life to your soul and an adornment to your neck. When you lie down, you won't be afraid. And when you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden danger or trouble from the wicked when it comes. For the Lord will be your confidence and he will keep your foot from being caught." So do you notice all of the things that God is telling us that we will get if we will just listen to him and gain wisdom and understanding from him? We'll get long life, we'll get honor, we'll get riches, we'll get all kinds of things from him if we will just listen to him and gain wisdom. Proverbs 23:23 says, "Buy truth and don't sell it. Get wisdom, instruction, and understanding." Sounds like it's pretty important, worth paying money for. And then in Ecclesiastes 7:12, it says, "For wisdom is protection, just as money is protection. But the advantage of knowledge is that wisdom keeps its possessors alive." So it also gives you a long life. Hosea 6:6 says, "For I desire loyalty rather than sacrifice, and knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings." So it's telling us things that God would prefer us to have over other things. So it helps us to understand a little bit about what we can ask for. Colossians 1:9-11 says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about it, we haven't ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all perseverance and patience joyously." That's a pretty good thing for us to all pray for ourselves and for our loved ones. James 1, 5 to 8. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously without reproach, and it'll be given to him. But if we ask, we must ask in faith without doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that person ought not expect that they will receive anything from the Lord, because they are double-minded and unstable in all of their ways. So we have to ask in faith, believing that God can give us the things that we ask for, and that if it's good for us and we are asking with the right motive, that God will give them to us. We have to believe that if we're going to ask for them. And so when we possess these right characteristics and we use them for God's glory, then he might even give us other things. We saw that in some of these lists, that God will add to us more things whenever we are asking him for wisdom and understanding and discernment and things like that. In Proverbs 11:2, it says, "When pride comes, then comes dishonor. But with the humble, there is wisdom." So you see that the humble gains wisdom. Proverbs 15:33, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor comes humility." So if you want honor, you must be humble. So these are things that if we have humility, we will gain. Proverbs 24:3-6, "By wisdom a house is built, and by understanding it is established. By knowledge the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, and a person of knowledge increases power. For by wise guidance you will wage war, and in abundance of counselors there's victory." So by having wisdom, you get riches, get power, get victory, whatever it is that you're needing the wisdom for, basically. Matthew 6:31-33 says, "Do not worry, saying, what will I eat, or what will I drink, or what will I wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek after all of these things. But your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. So seek his kingdom first and his righteousness, and he'll add all of these things to you." So our focus needs to be on God. And if our focus is on God, then his focus will be on us, and he will grant us the things that we need. He wants to bless us. And so, ask him for the things that you need, and even for the things that you want. And often he'll give you even more than what you ask for. Luke 11:9-13 says, "So I say to you, ask and it'll be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be open. Now which of you fathers, when his son asks for a fish, will give him a snake? And which of you, when he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you, despite being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, then how much more will your heavenly Father give you the Holy Spirit if you ask him?" So give you the nature of God, the things that he possesses. So he's like, I know how to give you good things. I know what good things you need. Ask me for them. I will give you my nature. I will give you the things that you need in order to be productive in this task that I've given to you. And so ask me for those things, because when your children ask you for things, you don't give them bad things in return. I'll never give you something you don't need. Ephesians 3:20. "Now to him who is able to do abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us." So God can give us way more than we could even imagine to ask him. So ask him. See what he will give you in return. 1 Corinthians 2:12-16. "Now we have not received the spirit of this world, but the spirit that is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. We also speak these things, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. But a natural person doesn't accept these things that are by the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him. And they can't understand them because they're spiritually discerned. But the one who is spiritual discerns these things, yet he himself is discerned by no one. Who has known the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." So if we have God, if we have the Holy Spirit living within us, then we can understand the things of God. And so God wants us to use our gifts for His good, for the glory of His kingdom, and to be focused on the right things. And so I'm just going to read you a couple more verses. Psalm 37, 4 to 6 says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to Him, trust in Him, and He will bring it to pass. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your justice as the noonday." So if we will delight in God, if we'll focus first on Him, then He will give us the desires of our heart. And the reason is because the desires of our heart will be His desires, because we're focused on Him. Psalm 40, 4 to 8 says, "How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust and is not turned to the proud or to those who become involved in falsehood. Many, Lord my God, are the wonders which you have done and your thoughts towards us. There is no one that can be compared to you. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. You have not desired sacrifice and meal offering, but you have opened my ears. You haven't required burnt offerings and sin offerings, but you said, 'Behold, I have come. It is written of me in the scroll of the book. I delight to do your will, my God. The law is within my heart.'" And that's what God wants, is for us to delight to do His will. If we will delight to do His will, then He will give us the desires of our heart. And so we will receive the things that we ask according to His will. The things that God wants. His will means what He wants. God will give us the things that He wants to give us when we ask for those things. But if He doesn't want to give us those things, we can't make Him. Just because we ask Him, He doesn't have to give them to us. He will only give us the things that He wants to give us. And so last two verses, Psalm 145, 17 to 20 says, "The Lord is righteous in all His ways and kind in all His works. The Lord is near to all those who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He will also hear the cry for help and save them. The Lord watches over all those who love Him, and He will destroy all those who are wicked." And then in 1 John 5, 14 to 15, it says, "This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He will hear us. If we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we will have the request that we have asked of Him." And so asking according to His will is what we should be doing. We should be evaluating ourselves and saying, are we asking these things for the right reasons? Are these things that God would want to give to us? And then ask Him for those things, and know that if He does want to give them to you, He has full power to do it, and He will. So that's all we have for today. Next week, we will continue on with Solomon's reign. So make sure you subscribe so you don't miss that episode. And then if you would like the blog posts that go along with this, then go to livethroughjesus.substack.com and become a free subscriber there. And when I get the blog post written, I will email them to you. It's just application and not the actual study. And so if you want the study, you will have to become a paid subscriber there. But if you would like the application, that's just a little devotion, then as I get those written, I will email them to you. And then you might want to pay for the lesson for this, since there were so many scriptures, so you can click on those things and read them for yourself and really meditate on it. And so you can do that if you want to. And then also join me on social media at Live Through Jesus, and then I'll just see you back next week. Thanks, and have a good day.